This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, did you know that a simple survey gathers valuable input from your customers about your business? Well, it's time to tap into the customer's viewpoint by listening to what they want. You know, your customer's input is a great source for your marketing plan. From the Aftermarket Radio Network, it's Carm Capriotto. Find out how many survey responses give you a good sampling and get info on conducting your own survey with links on the show notes page. Thanks to our partner Napa for providing you this episode. Accomplish more by starting now. That's the motto of Repair Shop of Tomorrow, a Napa Auto Care exclusively endorsed vendor. RSOT will look at productivity, efficiencies, effective labor rate, average hours per car, labor profit percent, measure and manage labor, and how you can create a strong net profit. Interested in Repair Shop of Tomorrow? We'll call 440-545-1230 and you'll get a free 20-minute no-obligation consultation, or please contact your servicing Napa Auto Parts store. Hey, so honored to have Rachel Spencer from Spencer's Auto Repair, Crum, Texas. Hey, Rachel.
Hi, Carm. How are you today?
Oh, I'm great. Glad to have you here. Jimmy Aluria from 3 Automotive, Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, Jimmy.
Hi, Carm. Thank you for having me.
You're a first-timer, baby. Glad to have you. We're going to talk about a topic today that I've never done a podcast on. It's on surveys, surveying customers. And it was Rachel. I can't remember if, you know, we were inside of a, you know, just one of the peer group things, and you all of a sudden brought it up. And I'm, you know, I sit here, take notes. Oh my God, great idea. So I reached out to Rachel in chat. She says, sure, I'll come on. And then she says, hey, you got to have Jimmy on with me. We both did it and we believe in it. I want you to pay attention to this because I'm sure you're going to tell us what you used. I'm sure you're going to give us some ideas and concepts of what you learned from these surveys. I'm sure you're going to tell us the reluctance of the customer to want to do it and how many surveys came back, which I think is important. You know, there's probably a good percentage of that. A lot to learn about our customer and how to get that data. So, Rachel, what was your inspiration to do this?
My inspiration is we were looking at what is going to set us apart from our competitors. And we wanted to find out what our customers valued most from us or what they wanted from us. So I had actually seen an article on Ratchet & Wrench that Jimmy had done. And I reached out to him about his customer survey and had a conference call with him where we kind of went over it. We were talking about changing our warranty. And I was trying to get my staff members to buy into that. They said, oh, no, our customers don't. They never ask about warranty. They don't care about warranty. So I said, you know, let's reach out to our customers and find out if that is something they value. So not only was I able to find out that from our customers, but I was able to sell that vision to my staff. So we upped our warranty to 3 years or 36,000 miles. So right now we're able to tell our customers, if you're able to fix your car today, we're able to give you the same kind of warranty as if you were to go buy a brand new car. So for us, that was really important. It was important for my staff to learn that our customers really did value that. And truly, our customers are our best source of marketing. What we learned from that survey is most of our customers were asking their friends, you know, who to go to. We had found that 62% of our customers that we surveyed had asked someone who they should go to. The next step was that they Googled us. 37% of our customers found that Google reviews were very important, and 44% found that it was mildly important. So we then implemented a referral program. So we now have, I call it a doorknob flyer. We put it on their rearview mirror. So we have a referral card in their car that says, thanks for trusting us with your vehicle. If you know anyone else who could benefit from our services, we'd love to have their business as well. And we have two cards on there. We call them VIP cards, one for them and also one for their friend to give it to. So we learned that from the survey that most of our customers are learning from other people about us.
You do so much. I mean, we're going to have an episode with Rachel down the road here soon about all the stuff she does for her customers. And I don't want to call it tchotchke, but it's not. It's a lot of great stuff that you provide your customers. You do a lot of things like this, if you will, mirror hanger tag. You know, I go to dinner with friends often and, you know, how was your week? And well, I had a brake job. Well, where'd you get it done? You know, it's like we're trying to save our friend money. I want to be the discount hero of the team and tell you that it was good or it was bad. And when you get pushback from a friend says, no, I'm sorry, Spencer's is my place. Maybe I spend a few more bucks, but let me tell you why. And that's what you're always doing to earn that loyalty position, because you have to learn it with, you have to earn it with every experience.
Most definitely. I mean, what we learned from the survey is the top three benefits that our customers were looking for. Number one was warranty. So we changed our warranty. Number two was loaner cars. So we purchased an additional loaner car. We now have 8 loaner cards. And the third was speed of service. Everyone knows with the part shortages and technician shortages and stuff that we're all a little bit delayed in repairs right now. It's like a game of chess. We're all trying to strategically plan our next move on that. So we're trying to make sure that we meet those expectations. We wanted to find out, I think you and I have talked about this before, there's 3 kinds of Mexican food. You can get your Taco Bell, you can get your On the Border, and you can get your, I think it's Papacitos or Papados. Anyways, we don't serve Taco Bell here. We will work with our customers if they want that On the Border, but we best serve that exceptional service that you're going to get.
I love that. We do not serve Taco Bell here.
We do not serve Taco Bell here. So we wanted to find out from our customers what they love from us. They love the little gifts in their car. They love that we're offering that warranty. So we just set out what is going to make that experience wonderful for our customers.
Jimmy, do you make sure that your people see the results of this survey?
Absolutely. As soon as we got the survey done, we did it the middle of last summer. We've always done surveys for the last 20 years or so. We hadn't done something like this in quite some time. And when we got it back, we really, really emphasized what came back, because we had similar results to Rachel, is that, you know, what was the most important to them? Well, it was the warranty for sure. We're also 3 years, 36,000 miles. And we had surveyed that about 7 years ago when we went to that warranty. You know, we wanted them to know, like, it's not just the parts and stuff that we're putting on. It's also the quality of the repair. But then the next most important thing to them was the speed of service. So, you know, when you're looking at, you know, the guys going, well, why do we push so hard to get all these cars out by the end of the day? Why do we push so hard, you know, every week to push something out that could go Monday? And it's like, because that's what the value to our customers, that's what they want. That's why they're willing to pay a premium to come here, is because we're delivering what they want, and we're delivering what we promise they want.
The surveys to confirm the strategy that you have and how you lead your business. But processes are critically important, but for your people to see what the customers really want changes behavior.
Most definitely. I think for us too, you're thinking about the customer and price. Nowhere in the survey were there any complaints or they come to us because of pricing. The customer was truly concerned with the value that we bring to the table. They were concerned with the warranty, the loaner cars, the excellent service. So we really focused on that as what is going to set us apart from our competitors. This is the first time we've had competition in our town where we do offer the loaner cars. We do offer the better warranty than they do. Let's face it, we're all doing auto repairs, but what is setting us apart from our competition? And it boils down to the service and the exceptional service that we're delivering to our customers and the extra value that we're bringing to the table for them to be able to drive their vehicle with the peace of mind and confidence to know that it's fixed right the first time, every time. And if there is an issue, that we have a 3-year, 36,000 mile nationwide warranty that we're going to stand behind it with.
You know, as cars become more advanced, manufacturers are getting sole access to important vehicle data, while independent repair shops and vehicle owners are increasingly locked out from accessing vital repair data. But who owns the data? The vehicle owner or the manufacturer? When it comes to vehicle repair, the fight to secure data access for vehicle owners and their chosen independent repair facilities continues. U.S. Representative Bobby L. Rush introduced the Right to Equitable and Professional Auto Industry Repair, acronym REPAIR, R-E-P-A-I-R, Act to the U.S. House on February 3rd, 2022. The bill is aimed at giving small independent repair shops the same kind of data access that licensed vehicle dealerships already receive. Americans should not be forced to bring their cars to more costly and inconvenient dealerships for repairs when independent auto repair shops are often cheaper and far more accessible, said Rep. Rush. But as cars become more advanced, manufacturers are getting sole access to important vehicle data, while independent repair shops are increasingly locked out. The Right to Repair legislation should protect a pro-consumer and competitive motor vehicle repair market, provide independent repair shops with the rights to critical information, tools, and equipment needed to repair modern cars and trucks. The right to repair legislation should task the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration with developing cybersecurity standards and guidelines to protect vehicle data and systems when repair and maintenance data is accessed by vehicle owners. Please join the fight and help support Right to Repair by completing the form at www.autoadvocacy.org/NAPA, which sends a letter to your member of Congress today. Right to Repair legislation protects your access to vehicle data and scan tools. This is critically important for the automotive heavy-duty paint and body industries. AutoCareAdvocacy.org/NAPA. Talk to me about the delivery method. Are you texting? Are you emailing? Or is the survey up on the website? And you know, I'm going to confuse you with all these questions that I'm going to ask, but I'm going to sit back and listen. Do you give a timeline? Do you say, hey, listen, I'm going to send it out. We'll see how many we get back in 30 days. I mean, how'd you start doing that?
I mean, I found a Google Forms was a really simple way. I mean, you use that for your podcast, right?
Excellent.
Yeah. So yeah, it's very simple. I shared our survey with Rachel, and she knows how to use Google Forms, so she could curtail it to the questions that she wanted to. And then from there, it was just simply a QR code. You know, it's funny, since I really didn't know how to use QR codes until COVID, right? You go into the restaurant, where's the menu? It's right there. So now, you know, I mean, even our elderly customers are familiar with the QR codes because they go out to restaurants. And so it's a real simple way. They could do it right there on their phone. You could give them that survey right there on their phone. And then we also had a direct link that we gave them as well. We could email them or text them if they wanted to do it on their computer at home, because the QR code obviously wouldn't work if they wanted to do it there. But that was the via that we used. It was, it was a very simple platform, and it's very fast to do. You can get these QR codes quickly. The other thing too is if you're, when you're using Google Forms, is on the ones that we have multiple choice answers on, which some of the stuff you know, right? I mean, we have some of our questions. They have like, you know, 12 or 15 different answers that might be on there, where they could actually type in their answer, or they could respond to one of the multiple choice answers. And Google will actually, they'll tally those results for you as well, which saves some time.
Jimmy sent me in the studio, I have up on one of my screens, is the results from his survey. And what's really nice is they'll do the pie charts for you and everything. So you don't have to, you know, yeah, there's percentages up there, but who wants to do math when all you care about is the answer? And I love your first question. What was the thing you did when you started to look for an auto repair shop? And 68.4% personally ask someone. I mean, there's referral heaven, right, Rachel?
Oh, yes. I mean, we had similar results. I think ours was 62.5%. And that's when we decided, hey, we're going to put those rearview mirror hangers in the car and start trying to get, you know, friends to tell friends. I mean, they are our best marketing source.
So it's just an idea to do referrals until the data shows you it's right.
What's interesting about our survey, we found that same thing, like 68% asked somebody. So what do? You ask somebody. But then you look at the Google reviews and there was like 77% went to Google. So even though they got a referral, they were still looking at the Google. I trust my brother, my sister, my best friend, but I'm still going to check these guys out. And then from there, if you surveyed what was important to you, it was the number of reviews and then what was said in the reviews. So, you know, even though such a high percentage of these customers are they're first asking somebody they know for a referral, the reviews are still that important, because they're not going to come in, or most of them aren't going to come in until they've done their own research to validate what they're hearing.
Oh, as a side note, real quick, guys, we're talking about reviews. Episode 474, 747. Wow, that's cool. Jimmy Lee from Kukui came on, and he talked about Google reviews. And he talked about the new algorithm and how you get ranked based on your reviews. And it's got to be like 4.7, 4.8, which means, Jimmy says, you better not be getting all fives. You won't rank as well as if you were human. And you helped the person through why you may have gotten a lower rank. And all of that matters to Google now, because they're always changing algorithms and they never tell anybody. And then you have to figure out why is this happening. Well, he did the research and it was just a great episode, to your point.
as it should. What I used to say in my seminars was like, what are you worried about getting a bad review for? All that is doing, you know, look, we make mistakes. And like, I did listen to that podcast and Jimmy was like, it's just, yeah, we make mistakes. So it gives you an opportunity to own up to that you made a mistake and make it right. Right. And so it gives you that opportunity, but it also validates all of those other five-star reviews. They can actually see, yeah, no, I guess those 500 positive reviews are real because he's got a dozen one-star, two-star, three-star reviews here that, you know, obviously show that, that the real people are leaving reviews. Having a negative review is not a big deal. If you have 100 or 200 or 500 positive reviews, it's not going to sink you down to 2.5 stars. You know what I mean? But if you have 10 and you get 3 bad reviews, guess what? You know, somebody gets a referral, they go to your website or they go to your Google page and they see 2 out of 5 or 3 out of 5 stars, you know, they're going to go, uh-oh, I don't think I'm going to go there.
I just love the reality check that Google has allowed us. And it could be a few less sleepless nights worrying about trying to be perfect anymore. Getting back to the survey, the whole QR code, I love it. But are you saying to a customer, listen, we value your service. We'd love to know more about your experience with us. And here's a card with a QR code. Could you go take that survey for us? Again, is it, do you ever publish the QR code on your website?
We had it at the just at the counter and asked for them to do that.
Does your survey run perpetually?
No, we did it. We did a time frame on it. We wanted to get our goal was to get 100 within a month. It took us about 6 weeks to get, we were pretty close to 100.
What was the percentage of customers leaving then out of 100? Was it like 20% were doing the survey?
Yeah, 20 to 30%. I mean, some people would do it because they're waiting in the waiting room. We don't have a lot of waiters. So that was definitely a challenge. And then, you know, getting somebody to scan the code before they leave and you don't really, you know, it's like, yeah, I'll do it later. You know, it's like the old, you know, when we used to do the little postcards, you know, can you fill this out, put it in the mail and let us know how we did? You know, you typically would get 10 to maybe 20% if you really did a good job on, you know, following up with them. But
so, Rachel, Jimmy, what's the best way to do a survey? Is it please check the box, you know, multiple choice? And Rachel, you sent me some really interesting questions. For example, here it is. One, what is the first thing that goes through your mind when something goes wrong with your vehicle and you need to find an auto repair shop? What emotions do you experience? Now, that is something you want them to type in their own words. Am I right?
Oh, most definitely. We wanted to find out from each customer's perspective what they experienced. And most of them was anxiety, frustration, scared, not knowing what's about to happen. So for us, I really tried to focus with my service manager on we're going to close that expectation gap and trying to alleviate that stress that they may have. We're going to tell them about our loaner cars. We're going to tell them about financing. We're going to let them know exactly when their car is going to be checked out, what they can expect from us as far as our digital inspection, that they're going to get a text message from us. And then when we call them, we're going to go over those expectations again, what they can expect when their car is going to be ready, that we're going to text them an invoice when we're done. They can pay it from their phone. We have after hours pickup. So we try and eliminate that stress all up front. And hopefully that can eliminate that for them where they don't have that anxiety.
It sure sounds like the opening line of the service advisor is, I know it's not a good day. Your car is not acting right, but you did the right thing. You came here to affirm the anxiety piece and then follow it up with peace of mind.
I mean, our job is fixing cars. Our business is helping people. So let's help people and eliminate that stress for them by getting all those stressors out of the way up front. Hey, you don't have transportation. That's okay. We can provide you with a loaner car. You didn't have this in your budget right now. That's okay. We have financing options for you. If we can just close that expectation gap and let them know what to expect from us, and we have to follow through on it. Make sure that what we tell them that we're actually doing. At 2 o'clock every day, regardless if we talked to the customer 2 hours ago and told them, hey, we're going to have your car ready on Friday, at 2 o'clock, we're still going to send them an update and say, hey, just wanted to touch base with you again. Here's the approved estimate that we sent you. Anticipate having your car ready on Friday. Any questions, please let us know. And we may still have the same update tomorrow, but at least we're not letting them sit there and wonder what's happening here in our shop.
Where are the better responses? Is it the long form fill in the text or, you know, the button multiple choice?
You have to have both. there's certain things, like if you're listing out items that you provide, what's most important? Rental cars, loaner cars, shuttle service, warranty. You might list those out where something like, what do you think of when you have a problem with your car or what emotion? This survey actually came from, I was doing an interview with Anna Zeck from Ratchet and Wrench. I was on the editorial advisory board, and you know, we were talking about stuff, and I really pushed them to do a series of articles and surveys. I said, you guys have the numbers. You can actually, you know, talk to shops, get this information. We did a Zoom call, and I basically put these questions together based on what emotional response I wanted to get. What were they feeling? And that question came from that. What was the emotion? And we got fear, anxiety, you know, frustration. But then there's a follow-up question that you would not want multiple choice, right? It's like, what's the first thought? You know, so you have an emotion, anxiety, right? And then what's the first thought that goes through your mind? And I don't know what you got, Rachel, but ours was, how much is this going to cost me? Number one, you've got the emotion that people feel, and you can, when you're doing your marketing pieces or you're doing something with your website, you're not going to have somebody on there with a bright, cheery smile saying, my car just broke down and I found Spencer's Auto Repair, right? It's like, again, there's a solution. Why? Because you're going to know what you're going to spend before we do any repairs, because we will give a second opinion, or you can bring it in for a quote. We're not going to do any repairs before we get your agreement on the price. You know, things like that we can actually handle. So to answer your question, it is important to have both sides, because then what you're going to do is take, and you got to get enough surveys. Typically, you need to get at least 50 surveys to get a good sample. You got to get enough, because then what you want to do is you want to be able to tally those results. And what you're going to find is there's going to be certain little buttons. And what I mean by buttons is you're pushing the button. And if you don't have those buttons for your marketing, you could put together a marketing piece. And a great example in our industry is, what do people want from an auto repair shop? Well, obviously, they want somebody who's honest and they want somebody who's trustworthy, right? Some areas, like with our clients, some areas you'll find that in the East Coast, it's trust. On the West Coast, it's honesty. And I'm just giving that example. You could be a quarter of an inch from the gold, right? The gold vein, and miss it because you didn't get the right button in your area. Trust versus honesty might not register the same.
Don't be afraid to write the questions to get the real good answers. I mean, because if you're going to write your own survey, and I'm talking to the people in my audience, don't shortchange yourself. You got to go for the gusto to get the right answers. I'm looking at some of your stuff here. Can you describe a bad experience you've had personally or have heard about with an auto repair shop? Too much money overcharged, 35%. Made up repair, not necessary, 29%. Issue, not fixed, wrong diagnosis, 20%. Those are a ton of bad answers. And again, get back to your people, get back to the quality, the honesty, the relationship you have, and verify that everything that you're doing never gets you an answer like that.
And just like Rachel was saying, you're listening to the survey to give them the solution. It's like, what is different about this brake job? What is different about our auto repair? Now you're actually getting why do they feel anxiety? Why do they feel fear? Well, it's because they've been overcharged. They were told something that was wrong with the car that it actually wasn't. There's where it comes from. So now what's the solution? And it's our job through our advertising, through our marketing, through our messaging at the counter when the service advisor is checking them in, is to calm that fear down with that part of our message.
And I think in addition to the survey is when we have a new customer come in, is to really find out why they're coming to us. Have they just moved to this area? Have they divorced another shop? If they've divorced the other shop, what did that other shop do to them? Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. What happened? Can you explain it to me then? And then we'll put a flag on the customer's account. If they let us know a concern that's happened at another shop, we're going to go above and beyond to make sure that does not happen here.
Anything, Spencer, Jimmy, that you learned that it really shocked you from your surveys?
I think for me, it was just knowing that the customers truly did value our warranty that much. And it really opened up our eyes that they really did value that. So we really try and include that when We check them in, letting them know that we have that warranty. We've actually had some brochures made that we hand out to them. And then when we present the items that their vehicle needs, we affirm the value by letting them know, hey, just to let you know, this is going to be backed by our 3-year or 36,000 mile warranty. So that was a big eye opener.
Does your supplier help you with that warranty?
Oh, most definitely. NAPA's just recently changed their warranty. All of our vendors basically are there on board with us that what our warranty is going to be their warranty.
So loaner cars, Jimmy, do you do them?
We don't. That was one of the things that was a shocker to me. One of the things I really wanted to find out, because I was getting ready to invest some money and we never had loaner cars. And I was like, well, let's see if we're going to add loaner cars, because I'm looking to add value to the customers. And in our survey, the loaner cars came down, it was like 3% that wanted it. But one of the top three, so you had the warranty, you had speed of service. The third item was the shuttle. We have on-demand shuttle. So we use Uber and Lyft to get people to and from. We do put a little bit of a range on it. Like, we're not going to go 50 miles, but we make it really convenient for them to use that service. And so the loaner car wasn't a priority. It doesn't mean that it wouldn't add value to our business. It just wasn't enough of an importance to our customers for me to say, okay, I'm going to invest $20,000 or $30,000 into a loaner fleet, where Rachel has proof. She has proof through her surveys that this is important. This adds value, and she can use it to, it doesn't matter what her prices are. Her price might be $100, $200, $500, $1,000 more than somebody else. She's hitting the exact things that the customer's asking for.
Rachel, are you finding out that the loaner cars are allowing you to have a 1 or 2 day delay on getting the car back?
Oh, yes. It's helped us tremendously, because we can let people know that, hey, it's going to take a couple days to be able to get these parts in. And based on our current workload, it may be 2 to 3 days. So the loaner cars have helped us tremendously, because we can tell the customer, don't worry about your car. We're going to offer you transportation solutions, so you don't have to worry about being without a car. So it's allowing us to have time with the customer's vehicle where we can make sure it's done right the first time.
Last week I was in Orlando. I heard three great speakers, and one of them was on supply chain. I was just sitting there shocked that you had this picture of all these ships that are either on the Shanghai port or on the LA port, and all of them sitting in the water. It was, if you will, a GPS type of view of the world, right? And Shanghai continues to be in zero lockdown. It's their biggest port, and the West Coast ports are the most inefficient in the world in moving freight. So I say that to my friends in the industry, plan, because they claim it's going to be a whole lot of time before all the product that needs to get shipped out gets to the empties loaded and the ones that are in the water and in the docks to get unloaded.
In a survey, a little over 50% of our business is diesel, like light duty diesel. So they're work trucks. We don't have a fleet. So what is a Toyota Camry going to do for somebody who needs his F-250 back? You know, so, I mean, it might be, if I surveyed, you know, if we had a work truck as a loaner, I might come back at 90%, say, yes, please. Right. Because it's such a pain to if you're down a truck. But, you know, again, some fleets have extra trucks. A lot of our you know, regular automotive business is older customers. The area that we are at is an older established area. They just want to ride home. They don't really need to be getting around. It goes back to the importance of the surveys and, you know, asking the right questions to make sure that you will find out what the customers need and want.
And for us, we were about to stop our mail-out flyers. We were thinking that they weren't effective. We were wondering if that was cost-effective for us. We were really gaining customers on it, because we weren't seeing the customers actually bring the mailers back into us. But when we surveyed our customers, 88% of our customers had received our mailers. So at that point, we decided, you know what? We're going to keep doing the mailers, and we're going to get really good about asking them how they heard about us when they came in. Mm-hmm. The majority of our customers won't bring the mailer in, even though it has a discount on it, but that's how they heard about us. And that's why they came back to us.
The value in direct mail.
I call it the Costco effect, right? When you go to Costco, they send you these beautiful flyers every single month. You know what I mean? I've never taken one in. I know that I bought some earbuds yesterday. I looked on the thing, there was $20 off. I got up there, they gave me it at the register. I didn't have to have the coupon. You know, so it is important to ask at the counter, what reminded you to come in today?
Hey, let's talk about frequency. You say you'd want to leave it up for about 30 days, but would you then turn around, 6 months later, maybe refine your survey a bit, you know, what worked, what didn't, maybe move some of the answers around, you know, the form. Give me an idea on the strategy of that.
If you've got a good survey, you don't really need to change the questions too much. But there's a couple things. Usually you want to do surveys within a couple of years of each other, unless there's a change in the environment. There is right now, it would be a really good idea for me to do that survey again now, because we have some things going on on the planet. We've got inflation. We've got interest rates going up. We've got fear. You know what I mean? Like, so that emotion of what the consumer's going through just in general is going to change. And that is going to change their tone, their emotional tone, but it's also going to change some of their answers of what's important to them. You know, one of the reasons why we're seeing the warranty be so important, people are keeping their cars longer. It just came out again. It's like, 12 years is how old the car is?
If you're thinking long-term, and I think we need to be in dealing with all the things you just talked about, Jimmy, wanting to know, where do your customers stand on these really, really big issues that have an effect on the kind of monies that they have available? Someone said to me today at this breakfast meeting this morning, they said they believe that car business is going to change forever, meaning how they always discounted used cars and now they're selling used cars at a premium. But there will be a point in time, maybe in the next year or two, that they won't discount used cars at all. You know, right now they're a premium. Before that, it was always, you know, what can I get off on the car? And it may change how cars are sold in the future and maybe even how we repair. There's someone who wants to keep their car, and how about this, make it as fuel efficient as they can. Maybe that's the new strategy. And, you know, and maybe you ask that question, guys, the impact of rising prices and the cost of fuel. And the next question is, you know, have you had any service lately to, you know, improve your fuel mileage?
Yeah, I think more than ever right now with the rising fuel costs and inflation and everything else that's going on, that we can really educate our customers on what you can do now to make sure the car is safe and reliable and help you put money in your pocket where it's going to help you save on gas, or you're not going to be paying for expensive repairs or later. You know, it's like going to the dentist. You go into the dentist to get your teeth cleaned because you don't want to get a filling or a root canal or crown or the worst case dentures. Well, we want you to change these fluids out because we don't want you to end up needing a transmission.
I'm laying in the dentist's chair. My dentist happens to be a friend and he taps on one of the teeth in the back and he goes, you know, that crown's not looking good. And I says, I know how much you charge for crowns. Give me a break right now. And he says to me, you plan on keeping these teeth when you get older? and there was an emotional hard sell right there.
That's right. That's right. It was a great point about the fuel economy, though, right? I mean, you go when gas prices are at $2, you know, $2.50 a gallon. Fuel economy? I don't need fuel economy. Who cares? I'm filling my car up. It's $20 or, you know, $30. No big deal. I filled my wife's car up yesterday. It was $78, and she drives like a, you know, Lexus GS. It's not a big fuel tank. $78 to fill the thing up.
Is it premium?
It takes premium. Yeah. But you know what the thing is too? The premium isn't even that much more than the regular now. It's like, I think it was 30 or 40 cents difference. You know, usually I think it's like a buck difference sometimes. What is the itch? Right. And you don't know what the itch is. Like obviously high gas prices, you know, it's an itch, right? And we know that there's certain things just by getting the car in the shop, we can check their air pressure. We can check their air filter. And there are some other services that we can do that can increase fuel economy, tune-ups, major services, you know, but also the fuel injector services. Now, all of a sudden, the consumer's listening to those because it's an itch that needs to be scratched. You know, surveys, you know, depending on what's going on in the environment, will tell you what you need to market. It's like you're creating a demand for something, not on a bright idea. It's really just taking what the consumer says they need and want and then presenting them and saying, oh, you know, they want brown eggs. And we surveyed that, you know, we surveyed that they want brown eggs, not white eggs. So we advertise brown eggs.
So how many questions is like enough? How many questions is too many? I mean, are you talking 10 or 12?
time is a factor, right? So you don't want it to be too long, but you don't want it to be too short. You don't want to have a 5-question survey that doesn't give you the data. I mean, we probably have 10 or 12 questions here. I didn't have any issues getting these answered. Did you, Rachel?
No, I didn't have any at all. We had it on our TV screen when they walked in. The QR code was, we actually just put a screen up. I got that idea from you, Jimmy. And then we also text messaged it to our customers, and then we had a link on there. So we wanted to keep it where we got the information that we needed, but it wasn't too long where they lost a tip. Because I'll do that. I'll get a survey and I'm like, oh, this is just taking too long. I'm done. So mm-hmm. We wanted to make it short enough that we would get the answers that we needed.
What's the headline? Is it, we really, really care? We would love your input. What's the headline?
Your opinion matters. And then we had just a little blurb in there that says, this survey is to help us improve our services and make sure that we are offering things that our customers and potential customers are looking for when they need to have their vehicle serviced or repaired. Your honest answers and suggestions are very much valued and appreciated. Thank you. So, you know, that was kind of our headline. I don't know if you kept that too, Rachel. I'm going to make these available for your listeners. If they go to winningautoshops.com, it'll be there. They can just fill out and they can take that survey. Now, we also did one for technicians. We did this all over the country. We did surveys to technicians. It was a similar process, but the challenge is, how do you have a line to enough technicians to get enough surveys? But I also have that survey available. And your question was spot on, because one of the things my guy was having trouble with, I'm like, I did it through a Snap-on rep. And I can explain how we did that without violating, you know, them exposing their technicians to another shop or anything like that. You know, we weren't interested in that. We just wanted the answers. But he was taking quite a while to get me the 50 surveys I had agreed, you know, to do something for him. They say it's a little bit long. And I was like, okay, well, this one, I don't know how many questions it was, but when I looked at it, I go, you know what? A lot of those answers weren't multiple choice, because I really wanted to get into the technician's head, because I didn't know. We were using that data so that we could curtail our ads to finding technicians. And then where do we put the ads? You know, is it Indeed? Is it Facebook? Is it Craigslist? So, you know, it was taking them quite a while to fill it out, and it was a little bit too long.
Wow. Really neat, Jimmy. Maybe you'll come back and tell us about the results of that technician survey.
I would love to do that. And we had, there was 4 shops total that did it. And Jason Stretch down in Fort Myers, Florida. I think you've interviewed him before. Him and I and one other shop owner put this thing together, and we all did it. It was interesting. You know, again, you go back to, why do you want to do surveys? Well, if you take what your coach or your, you know, consulting company is telling you to do that he knows is working in New York or Pennsylvania on how much you're going to pay a technician, it's like, it's not real. Our top guys are making $40 to $45 an hour. And I don't doubt by the end of this year, we're going to be seeing guys asking for $50 an hour. Whereas if you go into the boondocks in South Carolina, $25, maybe $30 an hour is way high for a master technician. So you got to survey to know exactly what that top guy's looking for.
Okay, I'm going to be sure that it's on the show notes. So if you're listening on your player, on your phone, we'll make sure there's a dynamic link and you could press it and boom, and there's the date. If not, go back to your desktop, open up this on the remarkableresults.biz website, and then you'll be able to get it maybe downloaded to your computer. That's great. Thank you for the offer, Jimmy. Appreciate it.
You bet. And if anybody wants help, they can just email me at jimmy@winningautoshops.com. And I'll do exactly what we did with Rachel, where we just sat down and it's like, oh, what do you want to find out? You know, and I showed her, you know, kind of how we did it. She picked right up on it, I'm sure. I haven't talked to her since she did the survey. I probably need to get with her and find out what she did that enhanced the survey, because you know what I mean? It's a very workable system, but you can curtail it and customize it to what you need. And then I'll also make the technician survey available too.
Thank you. Cool. And I'd love to come back and figure out what you learned from it, and if you changed any of your recruiting methods because of that. Rachel, I'll give you the last word.
I just want to thank Jimmy for including me in that. I mean, it really opened up my eyes of what my customers wanted. He had a great idea to entice the customers to actually do it, as both of us raffled off a TV. So when we offered that to our customers, we said, if you fill out this survey, you'll be entered into a drawing for a free TV. So that really enticed the customers to come along. But I encourage all the shop owners to really find out, to do a survey and find out what your customers really want. Because like Jimmy said, we're all in different markets and all of our customers, our technicians, we all want different things. So it's important to find out what your customers want from you.
Thank you so much, Rachel Spencer, Spencer's Auto Repair in Crum, Texas, and Jimmy Aluri at 3A Automotive and winningautoshops.com. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you, Carm.
Thanks a lot, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.